Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What's good? Welcome back to another episode of DX Daily. This podcast is brought to you by Hip Hop DX, and here's where we keep you updated on everything that's going down in hip hop music culture. I'm one of your lovely hosts, music lover, music appreciator, cultural savant, if you will, Asia Sky.
And I'm your other lovely host, hip hop aficionado, A-Dub.
And we have a super special guest with us today, a man who plays so many roles. Like, we're going to go down the list during this episode, but his newest role is president of Asylum Records. We got Dallas Martin in the building.
What's good, y'all? How y'all doing?
Great. Welcome. Welcome to the show. We are glad to have you. Let's jump right in. How do you feel about this new role as president of Asylum Records? Congratulations, first of all.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, you know, first and foremost, it's just an honor to be able to, you know, take on a label like Asylum that had, you know, so much success in the past and be able to kind of revamp it. And, you know, me being like a young Black executive, it means a lot for, you know, the opportunity, you know what I'm saying? Because I know they're far and few between. But I'm excited about all our new artists, man. I'm excited to be able to kind of lead a company and, you know, just give the culture, you know what I'm saying, what they want, really.
Okay, so how did it come about, though? Like, how did you even get into this role? Did you fill out an application? Did you already know?
So I've been at Atlantic Records for like 10 years, and I've had tons of success at Atlantic. And Atlantic's parent company is Warner Music Group. And under Warner Music Group, you have Atlantic, Warner Brothers Records, Elektra, and Asylum. So Asylum is like a smaller label. It's more like an incubator system where they sign, you know, developing acts, you know, for basically to get upstream to one of the majors at the label. So they're giving me the opportunity to kind of run that and spearhead that. So I still will be playing my role at Atlantic as the EVP of A&R, but also now I'm the president of Asylum and revamping it with Gabby Peluso.
Got you. Okay, so you're still at Atlantic too. I didn't know that part.
Yeah, okay. So I'm able to upstream artists, my bad. I'm able to upstream artists to myself at Atlantic once we get them hot at Asylum.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, nice. So it's a dope opportunity.
Yeah, so, okay, the success from Atlantic is what allowed you to be president of Asylum, but how did you even get into the door at Atlantic in the first place?
Yeah, so when I was in college, I interned at Def Jam for Shakir Stewart, mm-hmm. And, you know, I interned for a couple years for free. I eventually got an opportunity to become an A&R at Def Jam, but it was short-lived. Like, I was there for like a year because Shakir passed away, so I didn't really have a relationship like that with LA, you know what I'm saying? So it was kind of, I was kind of in a space where like I put in all this work for one person that, you know, kind of knew all my strengths and everything. And he passed away. So then I was like put in a situation where I had to develop relationships with people that at the time it was just really hard to do because, you know, Def Jam was a major powerhouse label at the time. So, you know, you had A&Rs like DJ Khaled, Tricky and Dream and Lenny, yeah, it was just like tons of just superstar talent in the A&R. So I kind of was overlooked and I really didn't have a voice. And I was let go after my first year because I wasn't able to deliver a project for them. And that's how I got my start in music. Then from there, the stories, I took a year off, like just kind of getting myself back on track, getting, you know, waiting for my next opportunity Then I was hired by Atlantic Records a year later.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now,
so that's a lot to unfold in that, but I try to put it in as much as I could for y'all.
Got you. Yeah, no, you did a pretty good job summing that up. A-Dub, did you have some?
I was going to say, like, okay, from the internship at Def Jam, like, what kind of, like, picked off to, like, okay, you want to be in music, doing something with music? I think I saw something where, like, maybe it was, like, artistry and you didn't think about, like, being A&R. You didn't know that was a possibility, like, a job role. So, like, what was the very beginning before that part?
Yeah, so, like, I'm from Flint, Michigan, and, you know, I always just loved music. And, you know, all my peers really just played basketball, was in the streets and stuff like that. But I just always had a passion for music. And when I was coming up, I couldn't rap or nothing and I couldn't sing, but I was like, damn, I really want to be a part of music and shit. So I was trying to figure out like what some of these other people did. So I would see like Puff, Irv Gotti, Master P, all these people, Baby and everybody. So I'm like, yo, what do they do? Cause they don't always be rapping. Like it seemed like they're on the business side. So I started educating myself in high school what an A&R was. And I was like reading books and stuff. And I was like, oh shit, I think this is what I really want to do. And you know, I just really start kind of learning the key players in the game, all the people that I would need to know that, you know, once I met them, they would give me my shot. You know what I'm saying? So my goal from high school was just to get to Atlanta so I could figure out how to break into the music business.
Now, could you break that down for people real quick, what an A&R actually is? Because for people that think, oh, I have to be a rapper or I have to be able to sing and that's the only way I can make it in music or I can get rich or whatever the case is. Like, what is an A&R? What does an A&R do? And what's the importance of an A&R?
So an A&R is somebody from the label who, you know, scouts talent, finds talent. Once you find the talent, you sign them, but then you have to, the next step is actually developing them. So that's putting them with the right producers, songwriters, giving them opportunity to make hit records. Then from the label side, what they want from you is to be able to figure out how to get hit records on your artist, stay within a budget, deliver a hit record and an album from your artist. So you're like the middleman. You're like the liaison between the artist and the label.
Okay. Summed up perfectly. Now, that's a perfect segue into some of the artists that you've been responsible for signing and bringing to the label and bringing to the forefront in music.
Yeah. So when I was at Def Jam, Shakir, he signed Rick Ross and Young Jeezy. So I developed a strong relationship with Rick Ross because the building where I interned at in Atlanta, that's where he made his first two albums. So I built a real dope relationship with Rick Ross. So when I got my opportunity again, when Atlantic Records hired me, at the time it was Warner Brothers, but they merged us into Atlantic. I called Rick Ross and I was just telling him like, yo man, I really want you to bring Maybach back over here, you know, and I think this could be a good home for her. Cause like we're just starting out and you would get all the attention with your artists. And I think this is a place you would want to be. And at the time, Joey I.E. and Todd Moskowitz were my bosses over there. And shit, I took Ross to meet them. And from there, we worked out a situation and we did the Maybach deal like 2 weeks later.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're telling us that the reason we got tears of joy from Ross is really because of you.
I mean, listen, Rick Ross is probably one of the best. Like, he really taught me a lot. On the A&R side, like Rick Ross is very talented when it comes to the music, you know what I'm saying? So I'm more responsible for all the artists that were on MMG, you know what I'm saying? At this time, Rick Ross is at the height of his career. So, you know, he kind of was in a place where you couldn't really tell him much because he was so good, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, Meek Mill and Wale were like my first two projects that I worked on.
So basically you're telling us dreams and nightmares. The song we rap in the club every weekend is because of you. Got you. Okay.
Sure, for sure. I was a good part of that. And Lotus Flower Bomb was like the first record me and Wale did. Yeah.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So that was dope. It was a good start.
Classic start.
Yeah. It was
a little more than good.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this new feature in Rolling Stone that you have after you got the President of Asylum role that you stepped into. What was your reaction to that? What does that mean to you to be featured in Rolling Stone?
I mean, shit, that's everybody's dream to be in a big publication like that, you know, just being acknowledged for what you do. Man, it's really just a blessing. It all comes because I got a lot of dope. I got a dope team that I work with at Asylum. I have incredible artists that are busting their ass every day, you know what I'm saying? Trying to, really make their way in the music game and, you know, take the steps they need to be successful. And just those hours in the studio and everything, you know, just makes you feel, you know, like everything's worth it. Like the hard work is paying off.
Who was the first person you told? First person you called?
Like, your what was your immediate call mama, you know what I'm saying? Call my mom. You know, my fiance was in the house, she saw, but I called my mom. My mom was the first person I hollered at about it.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was dope. She loved that. Little bragging things for her friends and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, she gonna talk about that forever. Guess my baby, my baby stone. So right.
Absolutely.
That's what's up. Absolutely.
Now, speaking of Asylum, what are your goals for the label and as far as building up the artists that are currently on the Asylum roster?
I think one of my biggest goals is to like work with artists that are just truly talented, that don't have like just big streams, that I'm not really going to chase in everything from analytics that everybody else is chasing. Honestly, meeting people, if they have like the talent that I feel that they could be successful, working with them, help developing them, and just really know, like changing some people's lives, taking people to the next level, and just creating some superstars, and you know, just creating a wave, man, over here, man. Like I love our team. It's like a small knit group, so it's like everybody works hard, everybody wants to see each other win, everybody is positive, and it's just a good place to be.
Are there like certain things that you look for when like signing or picking an artist, like compared to like somebody who has potential and you can like tweak it and work on them? Or would you rather like somebody who got it all together and you just kind of like help it or put your name on it, push a little backing? Like what's...
Everything's different. I go for both, you know what I'm saying? Like I've had artists that were pretty tightened up and I knew like they just needed the right producer or songwriter to link with and they would be off to the races. Or some people that I know, you know, they still trying to find themselves, trying to find their sound. But my biggest thing is like when I'm going to look for artists, I try to assign what is different from what everybody's doing right now. So once I see people going a certain way with music and I feel like a lot of it's starting to sound the same and like twins and babies and everybody else, not like the baby a little bit, like people just trying to sound the same, I try to go the different route, you know what I'm saying? And try to find somebody that has a sound that's different and unique from what's going on in the marketplace.
Speaking of that, did you hear T-Pain's rant recently about artists and their music all sounding the same?
Yeah, I agree with him to a certain extent, but there's a lot of artists that you got, like the Don Tollivers. You got a lot of people out there that definitely sound different, but the majority of people do sound alike. And, you know, it just comes from, you know, kids being inspired by some of these artists. And, you know, that's all they see every day on the TV and on the YouTube. So they're just trying to figure it out.
Yeah, we had a discussion about it on the podcast yesterday, like the difference in being inspired by an artist versus copying the sound of an artist. So,
a lot of people are not original, you know what I'm saying? So, and it's just easy for people to make songs these days, like anybody can make a record. So it's just tons and tons and tons, like just oversaturation at this point.
Now let's talk about the lineup of artists at Asylum right now. Like who's on the roster? Who's the starting lineup over there y'all got right now?
Yeah, so we got Sada Baby. We got Ken the Man that I'm super excited about. We got this kid named Jay Lau from Indiana. That's incredible. Jason Cash from Carson. He just put out a song, Priority, featuring Blast. That's really, really special. We got Butch Dawson. We have a few people, man. I'm super excited. We got a couple artists that I'm in the middle of signing right now that I'm gonna be so excited to announce in the next couple weeks that is gonna add some more value to our label. So, you know, everything right now I feel like are gonna be household names within the next year.
Right. And these artists that you've selected on your label, because you've named some you name people whose music we know and enjoy. Like, what did you see in each of these artists, or in some of these artists, like Asada Baby or Ken the Man?
Mm-hmm. When they get in the studio, they know how to make a song. They know what they want. They hustle. They go hard. Ken the Man will go shoot her own videos and come back with finished product, you know what I'm saying, on her own, on top of what we do. So artists like that who just want it, those are artists I like working with. They don't really try to blame everybody else. They like go out there and get it. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of the artists that I love to work with, they're just really talented. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't take 3 days to make a song. They all have like just incredible writing skills, and they all have like that chip on their shoulder that we all need if we want to be successful.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, did you find some of those people like through social media, or like they were out about it, like pop-up shows or showcases? Like, how do you go about like either hearing their music or searching for these people?
Nah, that's a good question. So when I was coming up, it was those things like open mics, Instagram. Well, not in the beginning. It was just like really internet, figuring out stuff and those kind of things. But over the years, I built so many relationships with songwriters, producers, managers, lawyers. I get the opportunity to get people to call me and be like, yo, check this out. This person really wants you to work with them and things like that. So I get a lot of things from people that I respect, that are tastemakers in the industry, that sending me that they give me an opportunity to kind of see stuff before it really hits the streets.
Got you. So if an artist wanted to find you or get their music heard by you, how would they go about that?
Well, the good thing too, now I have a whole team of people, you know what I'm saying, that I promote all the time on my Instagram that, you know, are like my A&Rs, my people that are in the streets for me. So I would really suggest they talk to them, because getting to me is just too much on my plate right now. I'm more so trying to run a company. So I have a lot of people out there that's kind of my ears and eyes right now.
All right, so don't run up to Dallas in the street, you guys. USB drive with your music on it.
Right.
Please don't. But I listen to everything, though. So whatever people bring to me, I check it out, though. You know what I'm saying?
That's dope. Can we talk about album rollouts real quick? Because this has been a discussion recently, like some of the best and worst album rollouts that we've seen. Like, for example, this rollout that Tyler, the Creator, just did was super dope to me. Like, he had the billboards up. He had numbers you could call in to hear snippets.
That's dope.
Yeah, so that was a creative rollout. Like, what's one of the best rollouts you've been able to do or that you've seen throughout your career?
Man, I mean, damn, that's a good question. I feel like Drake always does a good job with his rollouts. I think whenever him and Kendrick, I think they're super just good at, like, when they come and it's like the world stops, you know what I'm saying? Like, they have everything set up. They have all their content shot. They got their tour lined up, you know what I'm saying? So I think they're really good at that. I think Rihanna always has a flawless rollout when she drops music. You know, just some of the bigger people. I think more of the new artists, they don't give people enough time to set up their rollouts because they're kind of rushing to put their music out. So they really just want to get their music out fast. But I think once you get to a certain level, you could get your music ready and get all your content shot, your videos set up, your tours lined up and things like that when you really have a flawless plan.
I think it's interesting you picked Kendrick and Rihanna, and they're like the main two who don't put no music out ever. Drake does a good job now of like putting and stuff, but I guess that's why we like when they do roll out something, because we don't expect it. Like,
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay, so we touched rollouts. Earlier, you mentioned that you were from Flint, Michigan. So yep. I have to ask you, top five artists out of Michigan.
Top five artists out of Michigan. Wow. I never been asked that. That's a good question. So I would have to say Eminem, Big Sean. Damn. Can I put a group in there? Dave and Family.
Okay.
let me see. Royce da 5'9".
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Let me see if I'm missing anybody. Let me think. Damn, that's a good one. Oh yeah, Obie Trice, he was hard.
Wow. Obie
Trice is dope, for sure.
It's funny, you
can't. Oh, it's not a baby.
I was waiting to see if you was going to say him, but you kept it all unwrapped too. That's the interesting thing, because I thought you were going to throw some other genres in there. I thought
Madonna's from Michigan.
Who?
Madonna.
Oh, Madonna.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You ain't even mention baby girl.
Which one? Oh, Leah. I got it. That's a big apology on me. Aaliyah's definitely in there for sure. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
But that's a solid top five though.
Absolutely. That Aaliyah for sure. She's in there. We had to bump somebody out.
Now, while we're on your faves, favorite album that you've been a part of in your career?
Man, I would have to say Nipsey's Victory Lap. Mm. And it's because the process it took like 3 years for him to do it, but it was because he really knew what he wanted to do. And he was like the best person to ever work with. Like, you meet like a lot of people in this music business that you don't really like, you know what I'm saying? You don't want to be friends with. It's just really just business and music and it's whatever. We just go our separate ways. But like, Nipsey was somebody really solid in my life that, you know, we talked about other things outside of music, you know what I'm saying? Just trying to push the culture forward. And, you know, just from it, coming out only doing 59,000 records first week to becoming a classic album, it was because all the preparation and what we put into it, like, you know what I'm saying? So that was definitely one of the ones that I really would consider my favorite ones to be a part of for sure.
But I'm still mad about the Grammy snub, so don't get me started.
I couldn't be too mad either, because I'm in the suite with Atlantic or whatever, and Cardi B won, so I was like, damn, I couldn't be that upset. But yeah, we still got one though for Racks in the Middle, so you know, it's all good.
But now you're part of like the voting member of the Grammys. I saw that on your Instagram too. So like, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm excited for that because, you know, like I said, a lot of people always, you know, complain about people not getting votes but nobody registered to be a part of none of these things or figure out how to get on these voting boards. You know what I'm saying? So I was like trying to channel my energy into figuring out what I could do to help change it.
That's dope. Is it a tough process or like?
You have to have certain certain requirements to be a part of it. So you have to, you know.
You gotta be a big stepper to get on the board.
You gotta win some things.
You gotta have a couple plaques on your wall behind you while you're on the Zoom interview with Hip Hop DX, is what he's saying.
Right.
Hip Hop DX, man. I'm fucking with y'all. Y'all ask good questions.
Thank you. And I wanted to ask about something you mentioned earlier, which was basically like signing people off of streams and analytics versus like raw talent. What do you think about rappers and musicians being signed off of clout versus talent? Like, what's your take on that?
I mean, listen, whatever you got to do to get your money, you know what I'm saying? I'm really, you know, I don't knock nobody hustle. But I've never been into gimmicks. I never signed the artist because they got mad Instagram followers and things like that. To me, it's always been about the art of the music and, you know, having timeless music and, you know, being here for a long time. Like, I like to sign career artists. So, like, the one-hit wonder things, I just don't get into. Like, I want to really know that you have a real vision for what you want your career to be.
All right, so I want to just ask, all right, I know this is going to be hard. It's an expansive list of things you've been involved in, but top moment of your career thus far, like the moment you just look back on and you like, yo, like this was it. This was it for me.
I would say winning a Grammy was super dope. Because it was with Nipsey and an artist that I just signed, which was Roddy Ricch. Mm. And he was still kind of in the early stages of his, you know, his process. Then the success of The Box.
Let's talk about the records that broke. You had, Roddy had these people out here.
He's week number one. He's 9 million sold. He's close to being diamond on it. So, you know, that from an artist that, you know, I work with, like, I signed him when he had 3,000 followers. You know what I'm saying? So for him to go from that stage and then 2 years later be one of the biggest artists in the world, you know, I think that's just amazing.
It's amazing. He had Taylor Swift fans out here teaming up, like Voltron trying to stream the record so he wouldn't be number one.
Justin Bieber, Selena Gomez. It was like 3 weeks in a row, the biggest pop stars.
Selena. Yeah, that's, man, that was crazy. Do we have a Roddy album on the way? Can we get the ballpark time frame on that? What's going on with that?
He's very, he's one of those artists, if I say some shit right now, he'll call me. And like, why you tell them my release date? So, but let's just say it's going to be sooner than later.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Headline, Dallas Martin announces Roddy Ricch album release on DX Daily. Thank you for that.
Sooner than later, for sure.
Any of the other artists that are on Asylum, do they have any projects coming out? Anything we need to go stream right now?
Hey, J Law need a back featuring Ty Dolla, Jason Cass featuring Blast Priority, Sada Baby featuring Big Sean. All that's out right now. Kenda Mans just shot an amazing video today. She about to drop a few new records that I'm excited about. Butch Dawson about to drop a record. So we got a lot of good stuff in the works right now. So I'm excited about our team and what we got going on.
Thank you so much, Dallas. We appreciate
Thank you guys for having me, man. You guys were great, man. I appreciate y'all.
Yes, thank you so much for your time. If any of your artists want to come through, jump on the podcast, you know, we are a platform that is available to you guys.
For sure, for sure.
The invitation is extended. So thank you so much.
A big shout out to Asylum. Thank you guys. Big shout out to the publicist of the year, Michael. He's the one that got me in Rolling Stone. So he's a beast. So, you know what I'm saying?
Come on, Michael.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
He's been coordinating with us these past 5 attempts to get this interview done.
I know he probably drinking some rosé behind the screen right now. You know what I'm saying? That's how my dog get down.
I love it. I love the vibe. Thank you so much. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you guys for having me.
We appreciate you. It's DX Daily.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.